Close your eyes and don't try to hide.
Or a silly spook may sit by your side,
shrouded in a dark disguise.
They pretend to terrorize.
Grinning ghosts come out to socialize.
Welcome, foolish mortals. You have stumbled into the graveyard and discovered the Grim Grinning Guys Walt Disney World Planning Podcast. Your ghost hosts for this podcast are myself, Matt.
And I'm Derek.
And I'm Craig.
As always, we remind you to stay calm. The room is not actually stretching. And please go ahead and pull down on the safety bar, because we will not be doing that for you. Well, we thank you for once again tuning in to the Grim Grinning Guys podcast. Last time we came together, we kind of shared who we were and what the focus of this podcast would be. But Craig, so far we have already found ourselves some doubters, say maybe even call them critics of the show.
I don't think they're buying T-shirts.
We don't have any yet.
The critics would be mainly before we ever started.
Yes, and those critics are primarily our wives. They
really primarily one wife.
One wife in particular made a good comment though, as before we started.
But we are going to use those doubters to strive to give you the best Walt Disney World planning podcast that we can. I will say this, as we talk about perhaps some doubters, and we say all this in jest, it's all for fun, but one of the reasons we are starting this podcast is a lot of people in our lives got so sick of us talking about Disney World that they said, y'all just need to talk about it to each other and maybe share that information. So we're helping out our spouses through this experience by lightening the load.
They don't have to hear it. So.
We at least hope they'll listen from time to time.
I doubt it.
Today's episode is titled The Carousel of Process, Where to Begin? Those of you who have traveled Walt Disney World, there is a fantastic classic ride titled The Carousel of Progress and has been around for many, many years. It is a personal favorite of ours, but if you haven't been there, I'm sure you'll hear about it. But where we want to start this trip planning podcast off is simply that. Where do you begin when you start planning your Walt Disney World vacation? And Derek, let's talk for a few moments about some of the questions that we receive from others regarding, because there is a lot to it. Where do you start? What's the first thing you have to do when considering planning a trip to Walt Disney World?
Well, first and foremost, I think you got to start with the budgetary constraints that you're dealing with, and that not everybody can afford the same trip that we may take, and some may be able to stay at a deluxe hotel every night for a month.
I want to meet those people.
We just have to. That's the biggest thing is understanding how much you're willing to spend. And a lot of times, even if you stay off property, your own property, you can find something to fit that budget if you're just willing to work at it just a little bit.
And I think that's the biggest roadblock for a lot of people is they see Walt Disney World. You hear things on the news, well, it's over $100 a day to go to a park for a one-day ticket. That may be true, but there's also other ways to look at this. And, the price of a Walt Disney World vacation is a lot of times the elephant in the room that nobody wants to address. But that's the reality of this is a lot of times the money that we have and the money we have to work with is going to determine, can we go to Walt Disney World? How long can we stay there? How frequently can we go? And one thing we want to help you talk about as we go through this is figuring out, okay, what are some of the financial choices and options that I have? From a personal standpoint, and Craig, maybe you can speak to this as well, as we alluded to in our first episode, we've all spent a good chunk of change traveling to Walt Disney World. But in all the trips that I've gone, not once have I thought to myself, man, I did not get my money's worth. I've always come back feeling fulfilled. As if, yes, I might have spent a good chunk of change, but, man, I had a great time when I was there, and I got my money's worth out of it.
And that's always my thing is when and we've all talked about this before, and we'll talk about this throughout the podcast, is when I go, I don't want to worry about any more money. So I get the dining plan. I do all the stuff up front, so when I'm there, I'm not reaching for my wallet every time because it's already taken care of. And I think I think that for me, that's a personal thing. Again, we differ on some of those things, but that's just when I show up, I want to be there. I want everything taken care of, and not have to worry about it and just enjoy it. Any kind of most vacations I go on, that's how I am, but especially at Disney, I just want to enjoy it, not think about, oh no, how much money do I have left here? Or what? I just don't want to think about those things. One of the things I always get a question is just a blank. We were talking about this earlier. Is just a blank face. Is I don't even know where to start. And that was kind of the first time we ever went. I went to Tour Guide Mike. Someone had suggested that to me. I went to Tour Guide Mike. I think was even more lost just because there's so much information there. Most of the websites you go to now, there's so much information. And really that brings us back to why we started this is because how can we help people know where to start and how to get going where they don't feel just so uncomfortable when they get there?
Another question that I always ask people when they say, hey, I want to go to Walt Disney World, a question that I have is, okay, well, when are you going to go? When are you looking to go? Because going to Disney, depending on when you go to Disney World, can determine how much money you have to spend, can determine how many people you're going to face. Because a lot of people simply just say, okay, well, I'm not going to Disney World because there's too many people. And as we talk about crowds, and you'll hear us talk a lot about that and ways to avoid those crowds, you know, if you go to Disney World for the first time, between Christmas Day and New Year's Eve, you are going to be swamped with people and you will not have a good time, most likely. You still can. But I think a big part of it is, as you said, Derek, what is your budget? Where do you start? And, you know, when are you planning to go? When are you looking to go? And usually when you do that, you can kind of get a start in terms of, okay, what do I need to be looking for?
First time I ever went to Disney, we stood in line for Soarin' for about an hour and a half to 2 hours. Since we've been to Disney since then, I've never stood in line over 15 minutes. And it's just how to do that. And you're saying, well, it may depend on what time of year you went. No, it was the same time of year, the same week of the year when we went, and we stood in line an hour and a half to 2 hours versus 10 to 15 minutes. It's all a know-how how to do that. And that's what people want to know is, well, how do you do that? Because I don't go stand in line all day. It's so miserable. And people do it all the time, and they don't know what they're doing, and they don't know how to go. So that's one of the biggest questions is when you're going and how much you want to spend. What other questions have you guys thought of?
I think one other thing that has to be addressed is, and this goes, most of these tie into budget, but how are you getting there? Mm-hmm. Are you going to fly? Are you going to drive? For some people, and from where we live, it's about an 11 to 12 hour drive to Walt Disney World, which, you know, a lot of people are a lot further away. A lot of people are a lot closer. For me personally, I've never driven from here to Walt Disney World. We have always flown from here, from Centerville. And we have two young kids, and so it's never really been conducive for us yet to drive. Obviously, you can save a lot more money by driving as opposed to flying, but there are some affordable flight options. And I think that ties into, again, the budget aspect of it is, how much money do you have to work with? Can you drive and stay an extra day or two, or would you rather fly and trim that trip short?
While you're talking about that, where am I going to stay? Am I going to stay on-site or off-site? We have a timeshare, and we stayed off-site the first time. Real cheap, $100 for the whole week because of the timeshare we have. But staying on site versus staying off site is two totally different things we experienced in the years after that. And that's something we'll cover in some coming episodes about. But that's another question. Where do I stay on site? Do I stay off site? Again, that depends on if you fly down, then you'll have to rent a car if you're staying off site and so on and so forth. So lots of other factors come in.
A lot of ripple effects that come from that. Derek, questions?
Just that, like you're saying about timing, probably. Just to know that Disney is usually typically running some sort of special, be it free dining or discounted rooms. If you look more than, say, 6 months out, they're not going to have any discounts available, so you're going to pay a rack rate. But if you look closer to time that you're wanting to go, they may have a fall discount or a spring discount or something like that. So just knowing to look for discounts is another big thing. And that helps save a few dollars. And it may not seem like a lot, but it might be enough to cover a plane ticket.
Right.
Sometimes, so.
Another one I hear is people may ask, well, how long should I plan to go to Walt Disney World? They've got four parks. They've got two water parks. You've got Disney Springs, the shopping district. How long should I spend? And in addition to that, you've got Universal Studios in Orlando. You've got SeaWorld. You have a number of other different entertainment options. In a perfect world, I think I would suggest going for a week. I think a week is a good amount. I mentioned in the last episode, the first time my wife and I went together, we went for 10 days. She would tell you over and over that was way too long. We will never go for 10 days again. I still hold out hope. But if you really want to experience all of it without a lot of hassle and a lot of stress, I think a week is a good amount of time. Obviously, people don't have that much time. But, you know, as we bring up these questions, we should have mentioned this at the start. These are kind of some of the answers that we're going to be going through over the next few episodes. Again, this is Carousel of Process, Part 1, Where Do We Begin? We're going to dive into some of these answers over the next several weeks. How do you budget? What type of tickets do you need? Where should you stay? How should you get there? And so we didn't want to give away all the good stuff tonight with this recording. Craig?
Well, then once you get past the basics, then you're talking about, okay, now I'm at Magic Kingdom the first day. What do I do? And how do we plan that out? And how do I make it to the rides and not stand in line? And the key to that, and we'll go ahead and tell you that, is be at Rope Drop. I mean, there's no better advice we can give you throughout the whole podcast episodes than to be at Rope Drop. And we'll say a lot more about that in the coming weeks. But again, you get past the basis of getting there. Where am I staying? How much money am I spending now? Okay, I'm here. Now what do I do?
Because, exactly. Once you spend all that money and you get there, you don't want to spend time waiting in lines. So, yes, once you get all those basic questions answered, as you said, Craig, there's more detailed questions that you have and need answers to.
So where do we begin, man?
Well, are there any other questions that you guys are typically asked?
I think some of those other things are just must-dos. You know, there's things at Disney, and I've been going for years now, but there's still things at Disney that I have not done yet. And there's still things, they're building stuff every day. So there's stuff that you've got to go back and do. And I think the question is, what are those must-do things? If I've got one trip going to Disney, what do I have to do right now? Or what I have to do on this trip? I may not get another chance, or my kid's a certain age. That comes into it too. You're taking your kids versus taking my kids right now is two totally different trips. So all that comes into it, and there are great questions because we can't just plan out something to give it to you and say, you know, you see a lot of times on some of the websites, here's a one-day plan a trip, here's a two-day plan. I don't think you can do that for everybody because my family likes certain things. We went to family with the church group, and they had a son that didn't ride a lot of rides, so that changes your whole game plan. So I think there's a lot of questions within those questions that – hopefully, again, we can help you narrow those things down and help you better understand. And we'll provide emails and things like that throughout this show that you can email us and ask us even more in-depth questions. We have a Facebook page. We have a Twitter account, too, that you can ask us questions or follow us and maybe find more answers to some of these things.
You mentioned those must-dos. I helped a family plan their trip a little bit this past summer. They got back to ask them how it was and found out they had not even ridden Splash Mountain. And Splash Mountain is my personal all-time favorite ride at Walt Disney World. And that's one of those that if you go to Disney World, you've got to do it. And so, you want to make sure that you're if you're going to spend time there, you want to spend it on something that's worthwhile.
I'm glad you said that. The first time we went to the Disney World, we didn't ride the Splash Mountain. Because we were right down the road from used to be Opryland. So we thought it was just like the flumes there, just something, just the log ride that just comes off and makes a big splash. Well, the second time we went, we were with another family, and we thought, well, let's ride that because we've ridden about everything else. We got on it, and we're just blown away because once you make the first big splash, then you go back into another world, and it's just like it was our favorite ride. We rode it probably 15 times that time because it became our favorite.
I think you could say with any ride at Walt Disney World, don't expect it to just be as it appears. There's always more to it and more that you'll take away from it.
Except Stitch's
Great Escape. There's enough podcasters that hate on Stitch. We're going to try to refrain from that, but sometime we can't help ourselves. So, guys, we have talked about several questions that are asked of us, questions that we've asked before our first trips. Derek, what's the very first thing you think that planners need to do or people need to do as they begin looking at taking a first trip to Walt Disney World?
I think the first thing that they need to do is go straight to the Walt Disney World website and sign up an account, make an account with them, and that way they'll be able to get emails about specials and different discounts that they offer to guests, and just they'll be able to do a lot of research on the website too. They'll be able to look up hotel pricing and how long they might want to stay, ticket pricing, because as much as a hotel is, tickets are going to get you almost as much.
And it will add up as you punch in things that you want to do, things, experiences you want. It will add up and show you the cost.
And just get on there and start adding stuff to your cart.
And it's not going to charge you till you pay for it,
right?
And the probably the hardest thing I've ever experienced on the Disney website, and you guys can chime in on this, is paying. To try to find where you can pay is one of the hardest things, because on your app on your phone, is it there? I'm trying to think. You have to pay.
They've made the app a lot more user friendly.
Okay.
I know we do a lot of room only reservations now, since we're AP holders, but we have to call to make a payment if we want to make a payment. They don't have a place on the website or anything, so we have to actually make a call. But
so once you go on the website, then decide, well, how many days I want to stay. And some of you may know this, some of you may not. Each day you stay, the ticket, base ticket, gets cheaper.
Theme park tickets, in the theme parks.
And you know, the Disney website is, you know, I've been to a lot of different theme park websites. The Disney website is hands down the most, provides the greatest wealth of information, I think, as far as what are the restaurants like, what are the hotels like, what are the rides, what shows are in the parks. There's just a ton of information that you can go to, and that can be overwhelming. But they have the price your vacation option there as soon as you go to DisneyWorld.com, and it allows you to see those prices. Now, be prepared for some sticker shock when you see those prices, because those costs can appear quite high. I think one part of it, well, I don't want to get ahead of myself, so I'll say that till later. But yes, you know, go to the website, set up an account, let them know that you're considering coming there. And, you know, you can find and look into a lot of different things.
Our prices usually been for family of four for a week, 7 to 9 days, 7-8 days, usually around $5,000, $6,000, including the dining plan. So, I mean, you can kind of plan on that. And usually that also includes flight. I mean, so you're looking at $5,000, $6,000 for flight. That many days there, and then all inclusive, everything's there except for whatever souvenirs, things like that you want to spend. That's been my experience. You guys can tell kind of how much y'all typically spend.
But a lot of it is, and I think this is another key question, as you've got that set up, ask yourself, what kind of trip do we want this to be? Is this a once in a lifetime trip? Is this something that we think we may want to do again? And I think you have to be kind of, you know, you hate to say that starting out, but it's something you may want to prepare for. Sissy and I, we went on that first trip. We said we're not going to come back until we have kids, and those kids are teenagers. and here we have. So we went for a long time on that first trip, but since then, you know, we've taken 2-day trips, 4-day trips, and longer than that, and in between. So really figure out, what does this trip mean to you and your family? Is it a once in a lifetime adventure, or is it something you think you may want to come back to?
And there are tricks to getting things cheaper, on airline flights, on getting, as Derek said earlier, the free meals, the free dining plans. There's different ways to get even cheaper than, and again, depending on how many days you're going, those type of things.
I think I just wanted to point out that right now a Magic Kingdom Park single day ticket is $114 with tax. So
that's a lot of money for one day, Derek.
It is, but if you go for a week ticket is $437.
And that's still a high amount, but the cost per day.
But it comes down to, drops down to roughly $60 a day.
But then you add, if you want to add park hoppers, where you can go to each park without, if you just have the base ticket, you can only go to one park. If you have park hoppers, you can jump from park to park to park until closing. What else can you add on tickets?
Water park. It's
more.
Called Park Hopper Plus now.
I think so.
I think they change stuff all the time. Yeah. I think so. You set up your account. You figure out what kind of trip you want this to be, and then after you kind of looked around the website, I think then you kind of ask the question, okay, well, how much money do we have here? And what I tell people is this. I think budgeting for a Disney World vacation is like budgeting for any other kind of vacation or buying a car even. I hate to compare it to buying a car. But it's something that you probably want to set aside money for throughout the year. And, you know, you may the earlier you can start planning, the better. So say that we want to travel in a few months. I start putting them back a little bit here, a little bit there. It's just like for any other big purchase you have.
And that's one good thing about the Disney website is once you decide to jump in and take this vacation, you make your payments. They allow you to make payments. And so basically the earlier you decide to do it, the longer you have to pay for
it. That's a great point.
So that's a good way to do the dining plan and not really
and that's, how we, that's what I was saying. $5,000-$6,000, we're not just coming over the 1 month, but that takes time, but they let you make payments. So, up until 30 days before you arrive?
I think it's 45 now.
And I will go ahead and let you all know that if you go to Walt Disney World for the first time and plan it out and use some of the tips, hopefully, that we will provide you with, be prepared to go again because all of us here have probably been in that state where we'll go here and maybe we'll come back in a couple years or a few years down the road. And I think inevitably all of us end up going back sooner than what we planned. And that's where you really get to kind of get in the groove of planning and budgeting that money. So I wouldn't say start out with the idea that this is the only time we'll ever go to Walt Disney World. Be prepared to enjoy yourself and go back.
Especially with children. You don't want to, I don't think, speak for myself here, I don't want Boone to be the only memory he has of Disney being pictures that we've had before he turned one. And so for them to fully experience it, I think you have to go multiple times throughout there.
And if you do have children, it's just neat. I mean, like I said, I've seen my children grow through Disney. It's just to see them at different ages, the excitement just changes, but they're still excited. Even this past year we went with both my teenagers and they were excited and loved everything as much as the first time they ever went. So it's just you can't explain it, but that's one of the things that the reason we love it so much is because of you get to experience those things with your children.
I think that for next time we should come up with our individualized own perfect trip and just come up with how much that'll cost and where we would stay each individually instead of
a perfect trip. Well, I'm going to spend a lot of money that I don't have.
Blank check.
Just to give it. I mean, you could do, let's say you do deluxe, you do.
Oh, I'll do deluxe.
And I'll do.
I thought you said my perfect trip. I'll be going deluxe.
I will stay for 2 weeks at the Polynesian.
Or let's do it by.
With the deluxe dining plan, if that works for you.
Let's do it by category.
Okay.
By hotel category.
I think that's an outstanding idea. So we've talked a little bit about setting up your account on the Disney website. We've talked some about figuring out what kind of trip you want it to be, what your budget is, when you want to go. And again, these are some of the things that we're going to dive into more in the coming weeks. Guys, is there anything else you want to include and as we try to help people figure out where to begin on the carousel of process?
I think that's a great start. Just both you guys said, just go to the website and just start digging around.
I think we do have a great start here, Craig. We've done a great job.
I think pat ourselves
5-star review.
Yes.
This will be the lowest reviewed show we've had. Well, somebody, we're all over the place.
Somebody would have to listen to it in order to review it. So
that's true. Your wife will not.
I'm sure she's listening right now, and I'm going to hear about it. It's now time for a segment that we'll be doing every episode, and Craig and Derek are looking at me in surprise because we just added it. Grim Grinning Greatness. We'll pause for a moment in each show that we do to name our single favorite something at Walt Disney World. And so right now I will ask my colleagues the question, what is your single favorite ride? What's your single favorite ride in Epcot? What is your single favorite ride in Epcot? I guess I will go first since I started this shindig. For me, my favorite ride in Epcot is probably, strangely enough, Spaceship Earth. And it's not one that is thrilling. It's not one that I even ride every day that I'm there, but I think it does represent Epcot. It's one of the last remaining opening day Epcot attractions. I love other rides at Epcot, but my wife enjoys it. My son enjoys it. It's relaxing, and you know, it's in Spaceship Earth at the opening of the park. So for me, it's Spaceship Earth. Derek, what is it for you?
I would agree with that. With Spaceship Earth, that would be my favorite. And only because they changed to Soarin'. New yes. Soarin' is, I'm not a fan of the new Soarin' ride, so that would have been my number one if it was still Soarin' over California, but since the change, I'm not a big fan of the CGI work that was done in it, and stuff jumping and...
Yeah, it scared my three-year-old, that's why I almost said Soarin', I was like, nah, well, Bruin wouldn't enjoy it, so... I had to choose something else. Craig, what about you? What is your favorite ride in all of Epcot?
I'm probably the Spaceship Earth. I mean, I don't know. I'm thinking Fast Track. I'm thinking Mission Space. I mean, there's just so many I like. Even the new Frozen ride is not too bad. But I'm you'll find out throughout these episodes. I'm nostalgic. I love nostalgia and how it. Just takes me back to those early years, and it's probably Spaceship Earth because it's one of the originals.
Well, we all picked the same ride. That's one way to do it, Derek, as our good friend Josh tells us. That was unscripted. I threw that on Craig and Derek at the last second. We thank you once again for listening to episode number 2 of the Grim Grinning Guys Walt Disney World Planning Podcast. You can find us where, Craig?
On Twitter at Grim Grin Guys. And on Facebook at Grim Grinning Guys, and try to figure out who is who in the pictures. That would be a lot of fun.
We had a lot of fun making those pictures together. That's, yes, Twitter, Grim Grin Guys. Derek, got anything else?
I'm excited to see which one they think I am.
Well, we will be back again in a few days to share with you more of the Carousel of Process and what steps you should be taking to plan the next Walt Disney World vacation. And remember, as you leave, to...
beware of the hitchhiking ghosts.
And hurry back.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace, the haunting's free. So hurry back, we would like your company.
And Craig, where can they find us?
Write this down. At Grim Grinning Guys is Twitter.